the comments heard on The View from a Pew are those of Mac McCoy and are not necessarily the opinions of his guests, his producer Garth, any one particular denomination or religion, the church lady, Mr. Lemke, Pastor Craig, or anyone else of sound mind and body. Now, here is today's The View from a Pew, heard all around the world on YouTube. Just search for The View from a Pew.
Good afternoon. This is The View from a Pew. I'm J. Michael McCoy, and thanks for listening. Love this job. Couldn't do it without you. The ministry is simply called The View from a Pew. For many, many, many years, but even before Jesus mugged me, I would do a show on Fridays that was 3 hours long, and I'd invite pastors to come in and tell me and talk to me about Jesus. Because I was a seeker. I wasn't an atheist or a non-believer. God was the head of my life since I was born. But I didn't know this Jesus guy. And when he came and claimed me, it changed my life. And I'll be glad to tell you the story sometime if you'd like. But the main part of my life that it changed is I learned to forgive. And it's a gentle, peaceful place to know that you're able to forgive somebody. You don't even have to see him. You don't have to talk to him. You give it to Jesus, and all of a sudden, things work out a lot better. Now, that's what we've been talking about with somebody else. One of the people you've got to forgive is yourself. And you may think, well, I don't have anything to forgive myself for. Well, you get angry. You need to be forgiven for that. You probably use words that aren't so good. You need to be forgiven for that. How about all the times that you just imagined in your head what you do to them if you ever caught them in a dark alley on a late Friday night? You need to be forgiven for that. When you forgive yourself, then you're able to feel the incredible love that Jesus gives us when we walk with him that close. Remember, why did Jesus die on the cross? To grant us forgiveness of all of our sins and to give us the free gift of salvation. Gary Hutchins is my guest today as we talk about forgiving ourselves. Remember that your heart is either a jail cell or a place of peace. And if you haven't forgiven yourself, walk through the steps of forgiving yourself, you've locked yourself in that jail. You've got to let yourself out of that jail and open yourself up to Christ's teachings. What else should somebody be doing, Gary, when they're trying to forgive themselves?
Part of faith. Do you have faith in God? Well, yeah. Sure, I have faith in God. Do you have faith in Jesus? Yes, I have faith in Jesus. Okay, if you've come to God through Jesus, as you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, do you have faith that God forgave you? And I've actually talked to a fella not too long ago, trying to get close to him and try to work with him, but he said, "I've just done such terrible things in my life. God can't forgive me." And so he gave up on forgiveness. Well, if that's the case, the problem is with your faith in God.
Yeah.
God, Isaiah chapter 51, God through Isaiah asks, is my hand shortened that it cannot save? Well, no, of course. But your iniquities have separated you from God, And so if we come to God properly for forgiveness, and we say, now, why would we do that? Well, we have faith in God. Okay. We come to him through Jesus. Why would you come through Jesus? Well, I have faith in Jesus. Okay. You have faith in God. You have faith in Jesus. That's fundamental. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 and John 8 and 24. Have that faith that when God says, I'll forgive you, he forgives you. You have to, that's part of your faith. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, he's writing this to Christians now.
Okay.
Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Yep.
Past tense. Okay? So you have faith in God, you have faith in Jesus as your Savior. Let that faith be enough to let you forgive yourself. And now it comes with godly sorrow, and that's, you know, Paul goes into this in Romans, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, and he's writing to them, and I think he's referring to a situation that he was addressing in his 1 Corinthians letter, where there was apparently a young man who was having a sexual affair with his stepmother, and he said, you got to deliver that one to Satan. You got to exercise church discipline here to shake him up, to recognize he's in sin and needs to repent of that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I think that's what he's addressing when he says in verse 8, even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle or the same letter made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. And then in the next verse, he talks about that being godly sorrow. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And so a lot of people, and you've probably run into this, maybe you even experienced it yourself, they do something wrong. They recognize they've done something wrong. They're sorry for it, but they haven't really repented because they keep doing it.
Yeah.
They've just been sorry.
Yeah.
Godly sorrow leads me to stop it, and that's repentance.
Gary Hutchins is my guest today. We are live in Omaha, Nebraska, no matter where you may be watching or listening. I want to say hi to my buddy Moses. No, not the guy that took him up to Egypt, but there's actually a man that lives in Africa, and his name is Moses, and he listens all the time, and he's a wonderful man. I'm lucky to have him. But anyway, you can get our program on any podcast site, a Roku channel, YouTube. Just seek out and search for The View from A Pew. And you can email me at Mac, M-A-C, like macaroni, at theviewfromapew.com. So we're talking about, in the last three shows, we talked about forgiving others. And here we're talking about something that needs to be one of the first things you learn how to do. But unfortunately, in the curriculum that I facilitate, we make it last. Because you got to figure out what road you would go down to forgive somebody else. And by the time you've gone through all of that, you usually recognize you need to forgive yourself. And there's nothing wrong with forgiving yourself. Here's an idea. Write yourself a letter. Name some of the things that you need to be forgiven for or that you want to be forgiven for yourself, not God. You're okay with God. Are you okay with yourself? Does the devil still live in your heart? Do you still have wounds that you harbor? Do you still have vengeance that you harbor to other people? Take your time and realize that Jesus loves you more than anybody else in the whole world. And he wants you to love yourself. What's that one Bible verse? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't say treat your neighbor as he treats you. He said love your neighbor, love your enemy the way you love yourself. If you can't forgive yourself, how can you forgive that other person?
And why would you not forgive yourself? If you believe, now here comes to your faith again.
Yeah.
If you believe that God can forgive you, then why would you not forgive yourself?
You know what my answer is to that? The devil keeps whispering in people's ears, yeah. Oh, you don't need to forgive yourself. You're fine. If God doesn't accept you, I accept you. I mean, he is the king of lies.
Yeah. You think about Alcoholics Anonymous and, you know, people can have some, you know, they can have some conflicts. They can say, yeah, I don't necessarily believe all of those principles, you know, that the way they go about things. Okay, I understand that. But one of their principles is let go and let God.
Yep.
You've got to let go. How many horrible things did you do under the influence of alcohol or drugs, you know? And you say, I just almost can't imagine, you know, having done those terrible things. Okay, well, you did. Now, but you're coming to God for healing, and you're coming to God. Ultimately, you should be coming to God for forgiveness. Okay, do you believe God can forgive you?
Yes.
Now, if you say, I don't think God can forgive me, I've been too horrible. Well, then how do you deal with 1 John chapter 1 in the last few verses where he says, you know, he can forgive you of all unrighteousness. That leaves nothing out. And, I can accept it intellectually, but emotionally and psychologically I'm struggling with this. Let go and let God. Just trust God and start moving on. And as you keep practicing that mindset, that inner discipline, you'll find it easier and easier. Somewhere along the line, you'll say, you know, I'm not carrying that burden anymore.
Yeah. The class that I facilitate is called 70 times 7. Bruce Wilkinson did the curriculum. If you go to YouTube and search for 70 capital X 7, so it's 70X7.
Now tell them what that's from.
Oh,
some people may not know where you're taking that from.
So Peter came to Jesus once and said, I think he was probably frustrated, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? 7 times? And in the Bible, the number 7 is eternity, right?
No, it's the perfect number.
So, yeah, it's the finish, it's the beginning, but it's the perfect number. And Jesus says, no, Peter, not 7, 70 times 7. And that is, Jesus is not saying you have to forgive him 490 times. Yeah. It means that's all you got to do. It's the perfect number. So if we always realize that it's up to us to forgive ourselves and to forgive others, then we are fulfilling Jesus' commandments to us, love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive others. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Jeremiah 31:32. And Jesus, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, I don't have my Bible in front of me, but God says, they will be my people and I will be their God. And I will forevermore forgive their sins. And then God says this, and I will never remember them again. We say as humans, well, I don't know if I can forgive and forget. Well, that's something you got to give to Jesus, and that's something you got to give to God. If there's a pedophile that attacked one of your children, I hope you never have to see that person again. You probably will never forget what it did to your child or to your family, but God will.
Well, let me tell you a true story that was related to me by an incredibly godly man and gospel preacher. He's been dead for many, many, many years, decades now. But he was telling the story, and he was nationally known, internationally known as a gospel preacher. His name was Batzel Barrett Baxter. And he was talking about on a plane flight one time, he was sitting next to a man who was blind. Mm. And so they struck up a conversation, and somewhere along the line he asked the man, you know, maybe he just said, have you always been blind for life or whatever? Yeah. The man said, you know, earlier in my life, a business partner of mine hired someone to throw acid in my face, and that took my sight.
Oh.
Now, I grew up in Chicago, so I understand that kind of, you know, happening. But so Brother Baxter said, and of course he was surprised, I'm sure, you know, he said, were you bitter? Yeah, and the man, what an incredible response from the man. But he learned to do exactly not forgiving himself, but he had to forgive himself. He said, I was bitter for a while, but I realized somewhere along the line my bitterness was making it worse for me than it was for him. And he said, so even in more recent years, I've actually done some favors for the man.
Oh, wow.
But see, if you're holding on to that guilt, then you're not trusting God to follow through with what he's promised to do for you, and that's forgive you.
And that's the way it works. Thank you very much for being here, Pastor. We'll see you next week on What Does the Bible Say About Blank? If you've got a suggestion, email it to me, mac@theviewfromapew.com. Now remember, I'm going to be here tomorrow. And if you can't find me, look for Jesus, because I promise you, I'll be with him.
Divine Truth Christian Store, where you'll find more.